Psalm 20 on page 553 of the Church Bible. May the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. May he remember all your sacrifices and accept your burnt offerings. May he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. We will shout for joy when you are victorious and will lift up our banners in the name of our God. May the Lord grant all your requests. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He answers him from his holy heaven with the saving power of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. O Lord, save the King, answer us when we call.
The Reverend Stuart Plum led us in prayer. Flynn didn't get his full title. Last Sunday we had a chap in the congregation who'd only been once before and came bouncing up to me after the service was over. He was a student. We had a long chat, and when we finished he said, "Thank you, Father, that was very helpful." He came from a Roman Catholic church. So in future I will expect to be introduced as Father Glynn, one up on the Reverend. We're doing some psalms, five of them, during the summer. We started last week with Psalm 19. We were sorry that the new winers missed that wonderful psalm. A psalm, it was entitled "The God Who Speaks." And we discovered that in the psalm, God didn't say a word, no spoken word whatsoever. But what we did see was just the magnificence of the universe that he's created. And what we had in the Message version of the Bible was this concept of the sun going across the sky. David's astronomy wasn't quite up to the standards of today, so he saw the sun day by day moving across the sky. And the Message version said, "Mother Day spoke to us and Professor Knight had his word as well." God spoke mightily without saying a single word. Look around. And Paul said exactly that in Romans many years later, when people said, "But what about those folk who've never heard of God? What's going to happen to them at the time of judgment?" And Paul said, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse." Look around and see what God has created. People are without excuse. "Nothing in all creation," says the writer to the Hebrews, "is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account." Everything is of God. And that was the message that came through in Psalm 19 last week. No spoken words, but God is there everywhere. All day, every tiny bit of the world sees the sun, its movements, the glory of God. He shouts without saying a single word. And then we move on a psalm. Today we're looking at Psalm 20. The title we have is "The God Who Rescues," or "The God Who Sustains," "The God Who Keeps Us." And I read just a couple of weeks ago of a lady who'd had the nightmare of losing their child and everyone was out hunting. It was a very happy end. But she said, "I even resorted to praying," because she was so desperate. She even resorted to praying. We need an awareness of God. An awareness of God. Psalm 20 was written before the battle, as Tim read through there This was beseeching God to be with David, who was constantly in battles. A real warrior man was King David. And this prayer was from his people. Lord, look after our king in the time of battle. But verse 6 said very clearly, the Lord saves his anointed. It was addressed to God on behalf of King David, an anointed one of God. And so what we need is a daily relationship with God. God the rescuer, yes, but going back to the most famous incident in David's life, Goliath, David said to the Philistine, Goliath, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty. I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the armies of Israel whom you've defied. David had a day-to-day relationship with God. He came against Goliath in the name of the God of Israel. A relationship with God. Jesus said about prayer, and that is our relationship with God in so many ways, our talking with God, our listening to God. Jesus said, do not be like the hypocrites, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. It's a very odd statement to make, to say, do pray, but God knows what you can say anyway, and therefore there's an element, you say, well, why bother? And I constantly see this as a parent-child sort of relationship. We talk about God being a rescuer. Parents are sustainers, they're rescuers of children. Many sitting here today can identify to this in a way that I certainly can't. But a child is one that a parent is constantly caring for, constantly wants them to talk to them, constantly wants to talk back, wants to have a chatting relationship with that child. And isn't it true? Don't you parents know before the child asks what they're going to ask for? You've probably sown the seed in their mind already. That's what our relationship with God is all about. God sows in our mind, and it's those thoughts that we're relaying back to him. That's the relationship. That's what prayer's about. He knows before we ask what it is that we're going to talk about, but he still wants us to talk with him. There's that 24/7 relationship, exactly like a child and a parent. An awareness of God. Jesus saw the need for prayer. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Jesus saw the need for prayer. Jesus saw the need for prayer. Jesus went out as usual. Note those words, as usual, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. Our relationship with God, the parent-child relationship. God is a rescuer, yes, but a rescuer in exactly the way I believe that a parent rescues a child. Not from death on a day-to-day basis, not hauling them out of the river because they're about to drown. Yes, that could happen, but isn't it true that day by day, all the time, parents are rescuing the children as they nurture them along through life. And Jesus told us to pray. He said, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. David had a day-to-day relationship with God. And I look back over many, many situations in my own life. I can't think of any where God has plucked me from death. I don't think of anything quite as dramatic as that. But what I can look back and see is that he's rescued me. Well, I've mentioned this before, but it sticks so much in my mind, from a life as an engineer. That would have been a disaster. I can't change a fuse, let alone cope with engineering, but I was heading that way because that's what the school was pushing me into. And God rescued me by talking with a Christian leader who said, doesn't sound right for you. How about accountancy? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What a wonderful thing he said to me in that. I mean, it just, my whole life was revolutionized. Nothing dramatic, but God rescued me, I believe. And similarly, the reason I'm standing here now in the London area rather than back in the capital of the world on Merseyside was because somebody said, there's an opportunity in London in an accounting firm. And in those days, young guys didn't tend to do one-way trips to London very easily. But God, oh, I hate to use the word rescued me from Liverpool. That's a terrible thing to say. I love going back and it's all being recorded, but I hope no Liverpudlians are listening. It's a great place. But God rescued me and said, no, this is where I'm going to put you. I'm taking you out of that particular situation of putting you there. It was a moment of real rescue as far as I was concerned. I believe that God, as we day to day pray to him, as we look to him, he guides us, he sustains us. If you like, he rescues us. Trust in God. Are your plans his plans? Have you ever thought about it? Your plans for tomorrow, for next week? 6 months' time, a year's time. The writer of this psalm said, so many people trust in their chariots. There they are, polishing the chariots, grooming the horses. That's where their trust is. When the battle comes, they've got the chariots, they've got the horses. All will be well. And the writer of the psalm said, it doesn't work like that. Chariots don't work too well in swampy ground. Chariots don't work very well where there's boulders and rocks that are larger than the wheels of the chariot. Our trust in God, so easily our plans can collapse. Let me just quickly mention three that are real to me because they're ones that people that I know have been involved in. Health suddenly can happen. The secretary, partnership secretary of my old firm, woke up about 6 weeks ago feeling a bit dodgy and his voice a bit slurred. From nowhere, he has got a fairly acute brain tumour. Our plans, yes, we have our plans, and it's right that we should, not just meander through life, but they should be plans that are talked through with God. Keith is now undergoing treatment, and I pray for him daily. But a very good friend of mine was very senior in his firm, and suddenly health collapsed. The end of the world almost seemed to have come, but God rescued. His health has sorted itself out. He's now got a lower key job working for a charity and is happier than he's ever been. God rescues in a situation that seems a disaster. Recession, a very similar thing. We've known many of these situations, but certainly another good friend of mine was set fair in his job. And suddenly an email came through from the boss saying, sorry, your job's gone. Immediate panic, mortgage, school fees, all the rest of it. God rescued. There was a Christian guy who sat down and said, Lord, help. He now again has another job and is incredibly happy in it. God rescues. And the final one, I think I've mentioned once before briefly, which I can't get my mind around. A very good friend of mine, a PhD managing director of a large company in retirement, got a phone call saying there's a wonderful investment opportunity. And he liked the sound of it and invested. And the phone calls went on for nearly 2 years. And every penny of the family savings was pumped into this investment, which of course wasn't. Every penny of the family savings. How that can have happened, I can't even start to think, because he's such a sensible guy. But God rescued. He had to sit down with his wife and a few of us, and we talked this through, we prayed it through. The children came in, it's their inheritance has gone. But now that family is a united, contented family. He had a pension, he had a mortgage-free home, and they're living happily in retirement. God is a rescuer. God is a sustainer. And that wonderful verse that I quote so often, Jesus said, "Therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, about your body, what you'll wear. Is not life more than food, the body more than clothes? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life?" Trust in God. God sustains. God sustains. I can tell you that. I can prove it. It's happened to me over all the years. But don't think that there need to be dramatic events, that angels will suddenly appear and pluck. That can happen. But for most mature Christians sitting around here today, they will say, that isn't the way it is. It's the day-to-day awareness of God as we trust in God. So he supports us. Pray for others. This is what this psalm's all about. Timothy said, "I urge then, first of all, petitions, prayers, intercession and thanksgiving be made to all people, kings and all those in authority." And there's one in authority pictured there, if you can see it on the screen, "that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God, our Saviour." That's what this psalm is about. Praying for those who are in authority. I pray every day for Simon and for our leadership. This is my prayer list, sheet for each day, individuals I pray for daily, every couple of days, every week, because otherwise I forget. Pray for those in authority. Pray for Simon, for Stu, for Fiona, for Lizzie. Not just on a Sunday, there's a need in the club coming up, the summer activity. Daily, pray for those who are in authority, for those who are in leadership, that God will sustain and uphold them. I love the message. The first four verses of the psalm that Tim read to us before, that we're looking at today, Psalm 20. God answers you on the day you crash. The name God of Jacob puts you out of harm's reach. Send reinforcements from Holy Hill. Dispatch from Zion fresh supplies. Exclaim over your offerings. Celebrate your sacrifices. Give you what your heart desires. Accomplish your plans. Wonderful words. Pray for others. But constantly, it's, "Father, your will be done." I know exactly what I think I want for Simon, for St. Paul's Church, for the leaders of our government. I know exactly what I want. But what matters is not my will, but yours be done. And therefore my prayer constantly is to say, "Lord, this is the need as I see it, but your will be done." And the words that I, again, constantly finish with is to say, "Lord, give peace." Keith, that I mentioned before with the brain tumour, I pray for every day. And I pray, "Lord, if it's your will, heal him. He's a great, great Christian guy doing a wonderful job. But what I want at this moment and what he wants is peace." Isn't it true? When we're in a time of trouble, it's peace. We want to get out of that time of trouble. We want to be rescued. But as at today, what we want is peace. And then finally, thankfulness. the writer says, may we shout for joy over your victory, lift up our banners in the name of God. We're going to praise you and thank you as we get the victory. I used to go to Canada every Christmas. My brother's lived there ever since he left school. And I used to go every Christmas as the children were growing up and had a most wonderful couple of weeks. And Uncle Glyn is the hero for those two little kids because he was there for exciting Christmas every year, took them out and did exciting things. The one time in the whole of Christmas that was all a bit sad was a few days after Christmas when Mum sat them down, had her list in front of her of all the gifts they'd had and who'd given them. And those children sat there and wrote those thank you letters. And they didn't like it one little bit. It was a moan the whole time. But Mum, and there was no arguing, you will sit there, you will write a thank you letter to all the people who've given you gifts. Aren't we good at saying please? Aren't we good at asking for things? And how good are we at saying thank you? Two sides of the page, the debits and the credits, if you like, as an accountant. The requests, but the thanks page, if we're not very careful, can be almost empty. Thankfulness. As God rescues us, as God sustains us, a daily need to say thank you. Thank you. Because as David said, when all the gifts came to build the temple, now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. Who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you. Everything comes from your hand. That's how we started this morning. God is seen, shouts at us as he goes across the sky every day. The sun, things around us, it's God screaming at us, and all things come from God. Whatever these gifts are, whatever the daily situations, they are God inspired. Let's walk with him and let's give him thanks. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you uphold us. Thank you that you're right there walking with us. Thank you that you're better than any parent can be because you're perfect. You never lose your patience, and your judgment and your wisdom is spot on. Father, thank you that you are my Father, and help me to walk with you and to thank you. And we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.